So I don't really know how this is going to work.
It's pretty easy.
I know. It's like, I've never done this part of it before. I've never done like a...
If you could describe what we're about to do in like a couple sentences so that anybody listening to this could like understand it, what would you say it is?
So like, you know Joe Rogan, right?
Okay, yeah.
Better experience.
Oh, wow.
No, I think this is just going to be a... I think the way that you described it
a couple, like last week, what was the best, which was just like what podcasting is really, what I love to listen to is two other people just having a conversation that I can just like kind of peek into, you know, like it's not directed at me. It's not directed towards my life in any way. It's just like a conversation that I can just sit there and like pass time with or gaze into or like, oh, that's a good point. You know?
Okay, so and this is you and I having a conversation about Christ and different topics in the religion of Christianity, yeah. and somebody getting to just peer into it.
Yeah.
Awesome. To be like the fly on the wall, to be the third party. Because it's kind of interesting we get to do this from the perspective of like two kids who are continually like growing their faith. They don't have it all figured out. And like what I've learned is like anybody who thinks that some of the Christians have it all figured out, like they obviously haven't dived deep enough into it, because when you realize how big God is and like how much there is to learn, you just don't figure God out. It's just not like that.
Yeah. And what I also notice is that there's not really much talk of like those hard things in the Bible that you just don't want to hear, which is like just talking on temptation. We talked about this a little bit before, but like talking about temptation of like the Bible doesn't give you too much example on that. It just says flee.
Yeah, it just kind of sucks because, no, I'm serious, because like Jesus came here to be tempted just like we were, right? But yeah. Like also he's so good at it. Like we don't even really get very many examples, because like
for real.
Because Jesus never puts himself in a situation with a promiscuous woman where like, or a promiscuous man if you're a girl, like where like they have the opportunity to do something they shouldn't. It's like Jesus is like,
I'm going to go to the wilderness.
Yeah, Jesus is so good. Satan's like, you want to do that? And like Jesus is like,
nope.
And then that's like the end of it.
I'm good.
Sucks, man.
No, it does. Because like not even like girls or boys, but like you get into like so many situations where you're just like, what the freak do I do? You know, whether you want to go hang out with a friend or you want to like you don't want to sit home working. You know, like you don't want to go do the things that you're supposed to do. And Jesus is just like, flee from those thoughts.
Yeah. No, it's really tricky. One thing that's kind of crazy is like, I don't exactly know how to put it either, but like, I heard from somebody, like, there's a translate. I'm going to botch this. I'm not even going to.
You're good.
You could probably take this whole part out. I don't even know. But like, When the Bible talks about fleeing from thoughts, it's like you can't stop the initial thought, right? Mm-hmm. So to think that the initial thought is what God's going to judge you based on is like a lot, man. It's a lot. So for me, it's what you do with that thought that really matters, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, do you feed into it? Are you training your body that it's a good thing, that it's something to be meditated on? Or are you training your body that it needs to be cut out? And are you training your body that it's unimportant? Because our bodies are so interesting,
they right? really are. No, but... Like you were just saying, it's like one thing that was really big for me that I learned, and I'm thankful I learned it a long time ago, is that the initial thought is not the sin.
Yeah.
You know?
There you go. That's exactly what I needed to say right there.
But no, like that was so huge for me, because like I used to like, you know, like growing up as a teenager, you have like thoughts that swarm your mind, and like you're a Christian, and in the back of your mind, you're like, I'm just sinning all the time. You know, like I don't know what to do. And
yeah, there's like a lot of shame that comes with that.
For real. And when I learned that the initial sin is not, so there's two parts of that. I think. The thoughts are not the sin themselves, but continuing to dwell on those thoughts, like voluntarily, that could lead you, that's sinful. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then But there's the other part of it where the initial thought isn't the sin, but the curiosity, like you were saying, leads into you acting upon those thoughts, which causes you to sin. Yeah. And so there's nothing wrong with, like...
That's always been really frustrating for me, though, because, like, it's... Growing up, like a lot like you, it's like, how do you... You can't... Anybody who thinks you can just, like, stop those... That influx of thoughts as a young adult, it's like... Are you freaking kidding me right now? Well, just, like, it's just... It's really dumb to me when people are like, yeah, don't think about that. And you're like, well, don't do.
Well, thank you.
Thanks, man. That's a great point. That's a freaking great one. And I was like, you just want to... And what I love about getting to do this is, like, I want to be real. I feel like sometimes even I feel guilty of this. Like, you come off like a Christian who has everything together, mm-hmm. and now, like, you're still growing, and that you're not still discovering God, and that you're not still, like perfecting some areas and finding new areas that you're weak in.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, we all have our weak moments, and we all have our weak spots, and that we're all still growing. And even when you think you've got it figured out, you just don't. And so, like, it's cool for me to, like, get to do this with you, because it shows other people, like,
no matter where you're
freaking,
at.
We're freaking church leaders. And, like, we still don't have it, like, completely figured out. And, like, when I say completely, I mean, like, we have, like, none of it figured out. We're trying to figure it out.
For real.
And on a microphone, we're trying to figure it out. It's just, like, that's how it is, man. I love that, like, we can be real about it. Because growing up, I always was pushed away from the faith anytime somebody was almost unrealistic, you know?
Yeah. There's that's another thing too, which is like when God decides to work on something in your life, and I know this is like in my life so often, so much. It's okay, so I'll be real. It sucks for me as a church leader so I was like cleaning my room, and I stumbled upon some like journals that I found 5 years ago, you know, like 2014 or something like that. And I was just like, oh, this is gonna be cool. I'm gonna like look back and I'm gonna read like where I was at and like what the things I was struggling with and like me talking to God and all that kind of stuff. And I was like looking through the book and I was like, crap, this sucks, because there were a few things in there, if not the majority of it, of things that I was just still dealing with, you know? Mm-hmm. And like it's my perception on it is different and my mindset is different on it, and there's things that I've learned along the way to better me in those areas.
Yeah.
But the reality is like when God decides to work on those areas, like you're not like instantly better, you know? Like you're not instantly going to like drop something. Like you're never going to lie again, you know?
Yeah.
And slow incline of like I'm working on things and I'm getting better, and like throughout the time, I mean, I think sitting in that same thing for 5 years is kind of complacency on your part. I don't think God takes 5 years to work on like something specific in your life if he's already brought it to your attention. I think that's laziness and complacency. And
to be in the same place can be.
Yes.
I mean, like, my thing is I still struggle with the same sins I struggled with when I was 10 years old. It's just like I found new ways of handling them.
Exactly.
It doesn't make me not susceptible, because I feel like, you know, the enemy's got like a few tricks. That's
for sure. For each person specifically, too.
Yeah, and he doesn't really have to move from those tricks very much. He's like, he knows what works. He knows who you are and what you're doing. So, like, what changes is what you're saying, Colby, is like, what changes is you and how you handle that and your revelation of it and your depth of understanding of why you shouldn't sin in those areas. So that's sin, man. It's crazy.
Just me going off topic.
You were saying something about things going, are like, you know, complacency in 5 years.
Yeah.
And like, it's interesting that you say that, because we were just up in Georgia and we saw a speaker speak, and he's a kind of a distant mentor of mine. His name's Tim Tebow.
Yes.
And like, dude, what he said at one point in the message was like blowing my mind, like, and my sister's minds. Like, because I never thought about it this way. Because like so many times, you know, we think like we go into a situation with our friends where we want to share the gospel, or we go into a situation with like our colleagues at work or wherever it is, like that we want to share the gospel, but we want to do it in the appropriate time. We don't want to like push the envelope and stuff like that. Like, and sometimes we need time to grow ourselves, and like we're always taking time and time and time. And he was, in a really interesting way, kind of flipping that on its head. Like, he was talking about how, like, it's not about our time structure. Like, we are not, we're on a rescue mission. Like, have you ever heard, like, a lot of people say we're on a mission, but most people, when they say mission,
never really hear rescue mission.
Right. And, like, the difference is huge. Because when's the last time you heard of a rescue mission that's like,
I think of like,
yeah, man, we're going to go on a rescue mission in like an hour or so. Like, that doesn't happen.
When I think of rescue mission, I think of like, somebody's stranded on a mountain, it's snowing, and they don't know how to get out, and so those like snowmobile people are going to get them.
Yeah, but that's like rescue those mission. Snowmobile people, when's the last time you like ever heard of anybody who's going on a rescue mission be like, yeah, man, we're going to go on a rescue mission here in like a couple hours?
Never.
Never. Because it starts immediately. Because we're not operating, and this is what was really big to me, we're not operating on our time schedule. We're operating on theirs. It, like, who cares if we don't have tomorrow? Like, leave us to us, right?
Dude, that's
but
good.
No, seriously. But like so many times we think just because we might have tomorrow that they might. And that's just not true.
Yeah.
Like, they might not have tomorrow. And what I also love is that it's not just, I'm not just like sitting here saying like, yo, go yell it to the freaking rooftops, and because you can if you want, if you feel like that's what God's telling you to do. But like, another thing that he said that I really stand and live by is like, you know, preach the gospel at all times, and in some rare cases use words. Like, that's, and that's just the truth. Like,
what do you mean by that?
I mean, like,
in some rare cases use words.
Yeah. And when I say rare, I mean like, I mean it could be multiple times in one day, it could be multiple times in one month, whatever it is. It's just like God will put on your heart when it is time for you, and it won't be easy, but you'll feel like, okay, I should say something maybe.
Yeah.
When you're supposed to talk to somebody about something, it's just like, we're preaching the gospel all the time with how we act.
Mm-hmm.
Last night I was out with my friends, and I kind of missed an opportunity to be the gospel. Like, and I was like, bummed, and you're gonna think this is so stupid, but like, I'm really trying to be better at this, because like, I really want to be that guy. Like, my grandpa has this way of just, like, and you know this, and most people about don't know this, but like, my grandpa has this way of like, he has so much respect by everyone he meets just because he's such a sweet person.
It's a presence that yeah. he brings with him.
Totally. Yeah. And like, last night we were out, and I'm trying to be my grandpa, and like, I'm serious, like, and I'm trying to be my grandpa, and we're with all my friends. We've got like 5 minutes before we hop on this ride, and I didn't even think we had time to do it, but I was still like thinking about it, because like, my friend goes, she goes, I'm thirsty, right? I'd really like some water right now. And I saw you could probably go get some water from like the bar, there's a bar like maybe 50 feet away. Mm-hmm. And I could have walked over there and got her water, and I thought about it, right? And I was gonna get her water, and then my buddy did it. And I didn't. What a bummer. I was like so
swooped.
Yeah, I mean like I just was like sitting there thinking to myself, like, man, that was just an opportunity to take people serious on their needs and like serve them. And I just totally missed it because I was afraid we were gonna miss the ride because we've been waiting in line. But who cares at the end of the day, man? I just want people to know I care about them.
Yeah,
you know.
No, for real.
Yeah. So that's my Tim Tebow speech for the morning. There you go. Tim Tebow's the man,
bro. Dude, he really is. I love that guy. No, what you said is just like in a lot of aspects, even like church leaders and stuff like that, like, I think we don't take serious. So we always talk about like how do you expect God to show up if you don't practice, or like, how do you, like, when it comes to music or speaking or really anything in life. And it's like, if that's a mentality that's so important, which is like bringing that to the table when you mention the like, we're not operating on our time, we're operating on theirs.
Yeah.
And it's like, if we're not practiced, if we're not in our word, if we're not like, and I'm not perfect, I'm not, you know, I'm not, yeah, like, I'm not the best at practicing or the best at like
being consistent in my word, but it's like, if we're operating on their time and they depend on us being ready to perform at our best, not only that, but being able to answer those calls when God puts in our heart to go like serve somebody or do something for somebody, that's like, if we're operating on their time, how much more serious like should we be taking that? You know what I mean?
Totally, man. Because it's not about us.
You're right. And it's like, I think so often we get so inundated with the thoughts of things going right in our lives, not just in Jaywalkers and in the church, but just like making sure that like things are out on time when it comes to videos, or making sure that like things are going right in our lives, and we totally unintentionally like take God out of the center of it to make sure that everything's going according to plan. You know what I mean?
Totally.
So, well, that's good.
Yeah, man.
I love that.
Thanks.
How you been?
I've been good, man. I'm like...
Because you're like traveling a bunch.
Yeah, it's crazy. Just because like you realize after... So we're 18 weeks deep into a radio tour right now.
Yeah.
And I probably have been in like 200 cities, and they all start to look exactly the same. I'm serious. They all look exactly the same. And like, they're all special, don't get me wrong, but like, you go through so many cities, it's just like, you don't really get enough time to spend in any of them. And like, the few that you do get to spend a little time in, you start to find the beauty of it and like why they're all so special and stuff. But man, nothing is like family. I love being home.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So that's a big thing for me. We're like constantly tackling new things, and what I love about it, and like, this is a good, like, hopefully, like, I hope that it could like encourage people back home. Like, when you're doing something right, it's not easy. It's not in the moment something that you should hold close to and be like feeling a lot of like excitement for, because like it should be satisfying because you know you're getting a lot done. But like at the same time, I've never been in a place in my life where like you really saw results until way down the line, and you have to be a great starter, but a great follow througher more than that.
No, that's something that I'm learning too, which is like we were talking, and it's like, okay, so I heard a message by Stephen Furtick, right?
Yeah.
And he was just saying that he sent a text to his friend of like somebody who was like not finding joy in their job, or not finding like peace in their relationship, or not like enjoying the church that they were going to at that point in time, or enjoying their friendships that they had at that moment. And he sent him a text, and he just said like, whenever you get the chance, like throughout the day, and you feel like you aren't moving forward, you're not going places, you're not like seeing where this is going to lead you, like he just said, like just say to yourself, like, this is significant. And it's,
wow, dude, that's awesome.
Yeah. And you said it the other day too. I was listening to that song by Lau, and you're like, you gotta find a new song to listen to, because if you keep listening to that, you're gonna have a sad day.
Well, and that's just like side note, like music is so powerful, especially really being in it, like, you know the power of it. Like, wow, man, when you hear a song that's like, I'm so tired of being sad all the time, it's like, if you connect with that and you continue to sing it, you'll continue to be sad. And that's just it. And you've got to be so careful, because you'll end up living like days and weeks and then months in like a genre of music that just depresses the crap out of you. Yeah. And like, you don't want that. That's why last night, all I wanted to do is listen to some Posty. All I wanted to do, I'm serious.
Yes.
And all, but like, I didn't, because sometimes his songs make me freaking sad. And like,
yeah.
So like, instead, you know what I listened to? I listened to some Michael Jackson.
That's a mood,
dude. Well, I mean, like, it was just like, it's something that I initially didn't really want to listen to, just because like it seemed like a lot of work.
Did you listen to Human Nature?
No.
Okay, because I thought you came home singing that last night, and it put it in my head all night.
Human Nature.
That it's human nature. Why?
Oh, no. You know what song I've been digging lately?
What?
Is, what's that new one?
By who?
I've been digging so much. Oh, Tropical Rain.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, anyways.
Show me that.
Yeah.
But no, it's like, it's dumb how real, like, these things are. Like, have you ever, you know how, like, okay, I always tell myself this, that if I were to apply the things that I learned when I was younger, like, when we were going to, like, Big Stuff and we were at Mosaic and stuff like, if I were to apply that stuff back then instead of now, I feel like I would have been so much further ahead, because they all told me the truth. And like the things,
what are those things?
Like the things that you speak over yourself, like, or the things that you listen to, or the things that you surround yourself with, play a huge role in how you act or how you think or how you like respond to people. Like we're talking about that sad song by Lauv, and it's like you listen to that like
constantly
because
you
and
connect
then,
with it.
It's fun to listen to. It vibes. It's catchy, and you just listen to that, and then you put yourself into this funk, or you put yourself into this bad mood, but you don't want to blame the song for it.
No.
No? And I think that's so, I think that's a huge, like, area that the enemy will get you, is that he'll get you in a rut, and he'll put you in a place, and he'll, like, surround you with certain things, whether it be friends, whether it be music, whether it be movies, whether it be, like, ways of thinking. And then when you go to get a diagnosis of what the problem is, like, you never want to blame the original cause. Like, you never want to blame your friends. You never want to blame the music you listen to because it's catchy and it's fun. You don't want to listen. You don't want to blame the movies because those were great movies. It was an awesome movie, you know, like, and all this kind of stuff. You never want to blame the source, because I feel like the enemy wants to like hold you in that place and keep you from thinking about like those type of things. And so you start blaming other things, and you start looking around. And if you start looking around to other things, it just makes it last longer. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, like, when Stephen Furtick said that, I was like, over the last, like, really the last 4 days, it's like, it's stupid how much I've been saying, like at my job, like, I'm picking up plates, I'm like serving tables, I'm talking to these guests that I really don't want to talk to, and it's like. It's like, this is significant, you know? Like, this is, I don't know how this is going to affect my calling. I don't know how this is going to, like, play a role in my future, but, like, this is significant. Or working with lighting at the church, or like, sitting outside pulling weeds. Like, this is significant, you know? And so, I think that's, if we were to sit here and would have applied these things years ago, you can't help but wonder, like, where you would be, you know? If, like, would it affect how
that's crazy, you know what I mean? Always been a crazy thing for me, because, like, I don't ever, like, that, oh man, you know, there's always more that you could do, and, like, that's a rat race in itself. You gotta be so careful with that too, because, like, yeah, it's good to, like, think about that and realize that so that you're not complacent in the next season. But if you go past that, you really start thinking about it. Like, it's like, yeah, if I only slept 5 hours instead of six, it's like, whoa, man, chill the frick out.
And it's not like I'm not thinking about it, like, in a sense of, like, remorse or guilt or, like, I wish I could have done that. You know, it's just like a thought process of, like, moving forward. Like, how do I not do that so that 5 years from now I'm not like
yeah,
you know, I didn't apply those
in the
things
same
back
place.
Yeah, exactly. And so I'm not, like, reading my journals again, like, thinking about, like, being in the same spot
sure
as I was, you know.
Heck yeah.
So that's really where that came from. But it's so important, like, the things that you speak over yourself. And it sounds stupid to, like, be sitting in the car like, you're a go-getter, Cole. You know, like, you're gonna do this.
Do you actually do that?
No.
Yeah.
I don't say go-getter, but, like, that's such a current thing.
This guy's in the car by himself before he goes into work. He's like, Kobe,
you got this.
You are strong. You are beautiful. And you can do anything. Have you seen that yet?
I feel like I have seen it. I don't know what it's from.
There's this little kid who, like, walks with his mom, and he's like, I am strong, I can do anything. And, like, everybody's reposting it right now. It's hilarious. But it's what
no,
you just
I haven't seen that. But, like,
the power of like speaking things over yourself is a lost art, I think.
I'm pulling it up.
Oh my gosh.
This kid.
I gotta see it though.
This kid has it right, man. Hold on.
Yeah. I can do anything. That sweet moment. Moving in his pocket.
That part, I don't know who that is. The sweet moment.
I honestly think I used to have his hat.
That Gap hat. I am smart. I am blessed. I can do anything.
He's just on his way to school. It's pretty cool, man. You know? I love that, man. Yeah.
But, no, it's true.
Yeah, dude, it does. It really does work. Like, I haven't ever tried that crap, like, where you hold your hands in the air and do, like, a power pose for, like, a minute.
Sean, my uncle.
Does he do it?
If you're listening to this.
Are we exposing you right now.
No, he used to run, I don't know if he used to or still does, but he ran the West Orange Trail.
Yeah.
And in the morning. So there's just a bunch of people on that, like, all those people trying to get fit and running and working out. And he said that he would put on like worship music and he'd run just with his hands raised, lifted up, just singing as loud as he could.
Dude, that must look so funny. Like, for maybe if he's like crossing the finish line, but like, listen, if it works, it works. At the end of the day, what I've realized is when you care about other people and what they think, it holds you back.
True.
Period. You can quote me on that. And that is why, like, some of my favorite things I've ever done were in the face of people who would have thought I was an idiot if I was thinking about it too hard. So, and then it's, and then you're not an idiot. Like, we just, dude, the craziest thing just
happened. I don't know.
Sometimes you're right.
Sometimes you are an idiot.
Sometimes you are an idiot. But, like, the thing.
It's not a foolproof plan.
It's never a foolproof plan. But, like, a great example is, man, we were on a plane the other day and I saw a bunch of people. I saw a bunch of people going back to Nashville for a bachelorette party, and you could tell it was a bachelorette party. And I told my dad, I was like, Dad, I think I'm going to sing her a song on the plane. He's like, what? And I was like, yeah, dude, I'm going to do it. And he was like, you're stupid. You're crazy, man. On the freaking plane, number one, how you going to get
see,
your...
I can see him saying that, too.
How you going to get your guitar? Number two, how do you think the flight attendant's going to let you do that? Number three, it's going to be so awkward. Number four, horrible sound. Number five, who's going to film it? And I was like, well, I have the answer to number five. You. And so.
That was before Nick
started. Yeah, that was before Nick started with us. But like, no, we get on a plane. I do it. We film it. We post it. Then all of a sudden, we get a call from American Airlines. And they saw the video. And they invited us to go sing on a flight. I was going to say fighter jet. No, we sang on a. Like I think it was a 737 or 747, one of the two.
They don't do 747s anymore.
Really?
They canceled 747s.
Well, then this wasn't that. But it was really cool because these people ended up being great friends, like awesome, awesome people. We got to fly on this plane and perform with speakers and everything this time for a plane full of people who were all somehow impacted by cancer. And all the money from this flight that was from LA to Orlando, all the money from this initiative that we were part of went to cancer research, and they raised millions, bro.
Really?
It was crazy. Like the heads of American Airlines were there, and so they flew us all from LA back to Orlando, and then a couple weeks later they called us and they wanted us to come out with them to the Rams game, and the American Airlines suite. And so we were like in the infield suite hanging with all my new friends from American Airlines. And I was like, what's up?
Because you did something stupid?
Because we did something stupid, homie. That's how it goes. You gotta do stupid crap. Plus it's fun. Like, remember you picked me up from the airport yesterday and like just so fun to like 2 days ago you picked me up from the airport.
Oh, when we were on our way home?
Yeah, it's just like you wanna have a Chinese fire drill? A Chinese fire drill, if you don't know. You
get out into the road.
Highly recommend it, but like also if you're asking me if I recommend it, no. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's way
like,
fun.
Like, where'd you hear about it? I don't know.
You don't know.
But
like, it's where you, like, and I would be cautious where you try this, but it's where you run around the car at a stoplight. And you try to do a full lap around the
car.
Not
anybody's car, your car.
Right. If you do other people's car, I feel like that's even more intense. I don't think I'd be ready for that. But we ran around the car and like we did a Chinese fire drill, and we haven't done that since we were little kids, and like it's so fun to do that and just to remind yourself that, to not take life so serious. Like, that's my favorite, man.
Speaking of which, like, we did that. You did it once. I didn't do it the first time.
Yeah. And you probably butthurt that you didn't.
Yeah. And then, but thankfully, this light took forever. Yo, this light. And so we got stopped at it again.
Yeah.
He's like, you're going to do it? And I was like, why not?
Let's go.
And so he got out and I got out and we both ran. And I was going to get back into my driver's seat and he jumped in there. So I had to lap the whole car again just to go back into the seat you were sitting in.
Heck yeah.
And then you ended up driving my car home.
Yeah. Well, you know, I just wanted to throw you off, man. It's good. It's like, to me, like, it's fun to remind people to not take everything so serious.
It's weird because, like, I'm never in the back of my truck.
How was it?
It's weird. Like, you know, like, it's your car. Like, you're in the back seat of your car while somebody else is driving. It's weird. Like, you spend so much hours just sitting in the front seat and, like, looking out the window, being able to control everything, and then you're just immobilized in the back seat with your dad's seat pushed up against your knees.
Dude, how does it feel though? What did it make you realize?
It's like I have a lot of headroom in my truck.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I got a good like half a foot, you know?
Yeah.
But I like the front seat better.
What's crazy to me about what you're saying right there is it's exactly what I've always thought. Like, in a bigger sense, sometimes we get so caught up in routine that we forget there's so much more right around us that we overlook all the time.
Yeah, it's true.
You know what I mean? We go into work, we talk to the same people about the same things. We go into school, we talk about the same things to our same friend groups. We go into...
Isn't that true, though?
Dude, so true.
Like, talking that for a bit. Because, like, you have those friends that you just, like, don't go deep with.
I don't have time to not go deep. Like, people around me, dude, they literally tell me that I guess I'm too much. Because I'm like, how are you? And they're like, oh, dude, I'm good. It's like, yeah, but like, what's going on?
How's your heart?
And I love talking about relationships too. So it's like,
I feel like that's in the Costa Rica mission trip. That's all you talked about with the kids.
Oh,
you got a girlfriend?
Well, it's the only thing I knew how to say in their language. I'd be like, and I don't even think I'm saying it right. So get ready to judge me. But I'd be like, tu es el chica. And that means, where is your girl? I think. Actually, tu es el chica means you... I don't know. Yeah. I don't really know what it means.
Okay. I'm not even learn Spanish for the next one.
But all I know is every time I say that crap, they'd all start giggling and they'd point at one particular girl. And sometimes the girl would be like nodding and sometimes the girl would be like, heck no! Oh. So funny.
That's the worst.
Dude, it was not the worst from my perspective though. It was hilarious. This one little kid, he was so funny, man. He thought he was the crap and like, he'd like point at this one girl and she's like, and he's like, oh yeah. They're like 10 years old. So funny.
But like, I think it's funny because like routine will like, it makes you miss out on stuff. So like you have these friends that just go surface level. You have these friends that are just like, you can't have those how's your heart talks or like what's God showing you type of deals, you know? And it's like,
dude, totally.
I feel like though, like if you've hit routine in your friendship,
yeah,
like something's wrong.
So true, man.
You know what? Like whether it's relationship, whether you're talking about the same thing over and over again, like week in, week out, nothing new's coming out. You're not going deeper. You're not like it's just like the same old "how was your day" type of talks.
Yeah, no, so lame.
Or like. The things that you have in common, or like, you know what I mean? And you're not really like talking, like something's wrong.
Yeah, 100%. So. Yeah. Well, not even that. Just like, yeah, you're being boring. So stop being boring.
If you're bored, you're boring.
Oof. Judas Smith said that.
Judas Smith said that?
Yeah. That was his line.
That sounds like a Judas Smith line.
If you're bored, You're boring! Like, so true, man. I don't ever want to be boring. I don't ever want to be boring. Life is too short. You got to take it by the horns sometimes. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like a lot of people live idle by and wait for their life to just become something really cool and stuff. And, like, I feel like there's two kinds of people. The people who watch it in movies and the people who live it out. And I will always try to be the people who live it out.
All right. And so, riddle me this. Like, you and I, we don't have a lot of friends. Right, like,
you know, yeah, what the frick?
What's wrong with that?
We talk to a microphone now.
No, but like, for like, we have a lot of people that we know and a lot of like acquaintances and like friends that we talk to.
Yeah,
you know, but not like you and me, where we just sit here and just like open up and just talk about life and talk about what's going on. But like, that's boring sometimes.
To not have friends?
To, like, with you traveling all over the, like, all over the United States and, like, doing stuff like that. And, like, me, like, being here, like, doing Jaywalker stuff and going to work and being productive. And, like, you don't have a lot of time to hang out with people.
Right.
So how do you avoid, like, falling into, and I didn't even expect to say this, but, yeah, like, how do you avoid, like, falling into that if you're bored, you're boring
type category?
Of category. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, okay.
I know there's a productivity level to it, but, like, productivity is sometimes boring.
So true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. 100%. I feel like you're at the cusp, personally, right now, of discovering that answer yourself. And, like, they don't know this yet because they haven't been in the house the last couple of days, but Colby's been hustling. He's been waking up at 6:30 every morning or 6 o'clock every morning, going to the gym. He's been begging people to eat his grilled chicken with him.
Yo, my chicken is fire. You guys are missing out.
Yeah. he's been, like, on it. Even today, he set up this whole podcast thing, and it's the reason we're doing it. It's just, like, here's the thing. There are some elements that will always be sucky. Routine, structure, discipline sucks. All the time. All the time it sucks. The results of it do not. And the results can be short term. I mean, the results are never like really short term. They're always long term. It takes a lot of time for things to get going.
Yeah.
That's why I'm asking you guys to help expedite the process. Yo, shout this crap out. And share the junk out of it.
Subscribe.
If you're in, you're in. If you're not, you're not. And I don't even know what that freaking means. But like, to me, it's not that I get bored, it's that I get tired. And what I also realize is that, and this is going to go real deep for a second here, that my life is not my own. I was literally created and put on this earth to be a vessel, to be a weapon for God. And if I'm thinking about what I can get out of it, sometimes that's cool, but sometimes, most of the time, that's hindering God's ability to work in my life and God's ability to use me to my fullest. Because God wasn't ever thinking like, how can I make the most out of this Thursday? God was thinking, how can I serve the most out of this Thursday? How can I love the most out of this Thursday? Mm-hmm. And like, to me, like, that's what it all kind of boils down to. It's not really about how we can make our own lives less boring for our own sake. It's how can we be more effective weapons, and how can we leave a bigger impact for God on this earth? Because like,
that's good.
And like, in that, like, God promises us the greatest adventure of all time. And just from my experience, I've seen like how that is 100% accurate. And it's not in any way I can take credit for. You know what I mean? So if you don't want to be bored, you have to let go of the idea of trying to make your life not boring and let God do that. But also in that, you know, a part of that is losing your inhibition. And losing your inhibition leads to like the fire drills around the car and like stuff like that. It's like,
there's joy in it. There's fun. There's
totally, fun, man. And like, anybody who has more than a couple really close friends,
lucky.
I think
blessed.
If you have more than four really deep close friends, then like, holy crap! What are you like? I'm just telling you from my experience.
I don't have many. I have
like
really one.
Like, even Jesus only had three really close friends.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Right?
Yeah.
And to me, like, to have four or five or six or seven, you need to ask yourself, are you wasting time? Because like, to go that deep with that many people, like, are you people pleasing so much that it's hindering you from your own calling? because God has called you to do something so great. And like to be so wrapped up in trying to maintain relationships can sometimes hinder you in the long run. And like, I'm not talking about those friends you see twice a year, but when you pick it up, it's like you never left. I'm talking about the friends you do Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday with, or all week with, or whatever it is. I'm talking about the people who potentially could be taking a lot of your life away from you that you could be using to do something great. And like, to me, like,
just like those friends that like just the other day that I got texted you, like, I have full like trust and faith that like if I were to reach out to Noah, even though he's busy on the road, even though he's got stuff going on, like, I just shot him a text the other day and I was like, dude, I need encouragement. And like, he was like, yeah, bro, I got you, just 2 seconds, you know. And it's like, just those friends that you like will reach out to, that you know will have your back, that those friends that you can talk to about anything. There's no judgment, there's no like inhibition, there's no like, well, we want to push it off. But those just those friends who have like the complete best for your life and want you to like fulfill God's plan for your life, like just as much as you want it for yourself, if not more, you know. And like, those are the friends you need to surround yourself with.
And not even that, like, I mean, you know what's crazy is I've always thought there's like, you know, God will allow those people in your life and like allow you to grow relationship with those people. Obviously you have to put the work in at some stance, but like,
true.
But like, God will put it in a way where it just kind of works itself out if you're chasing his plan. Like, the friendships and the growing deep of those friendships are a byproduct. Like, one thing I never want to do though is like, you become the people you hang around.
True.
100%.
Yeah.
Like, if you're looking at dating a guy or dating a girl right now, go look at his friends. Go look at her friends. I promise you, you will find out exactly who that person is by looking at the kind of people they surround themselves with. And the only difference between them and their friends is that them particularly is probably trying to put their best foot forward and make you think how cool they are, or how special they are, or how nice they are. But their friends have nothing to prove to you. So if you look at their friends, I guarantee you'll learn some stuff that you would have, that would have taken you years. And like, I think, to me, I can look at my own life and say that too. Like, I when I chase my dreams, like the friends that aren't chasing their dreams, they kind of fall to the wayside, and the only ones left are the ones that are still chasing it and running as fast as me. Because you don't want to slow down for people, because you're not called on this earth to just make good friends. You're called to fellowship, but you're called to achieve incredible things in the name of God. And so it really comes down to your heart, and it really comes down to you hearing from God which friends are close and which friends are not, and you hearing from God what your calling is for that season and chasing it. And I say that season because like, so many people are like sitting out there waiting on their couch for God to do something crazy. And Colby, has God ever told you to start a podcast like verbally? No.
No.
Has he ever told you like start a podcast because he like wrote something on a piece of paper and how'd you find it or something?
No.
No, it's just like it all starts with like a desire to do more, and God giving you these like natural talents or these natural inclinations to like want to do it in certain areas, and you just chasing that and then pivoting as God shows you more. He never gives you the full story, and so many people wait for the full story and they waste their whole life. But we're not on our own time structure, we're on theirs, and that's why we have to do something.
Yeah.
You know? That's just it.
That's good. You had an analogy that's like towards our friendship a very long time ago when we lived in Windermere. And it's it was the analogy of like you're chained to people, right? Like, you're chained to your friends.
Yeah.
Whether it be like you're just your closest friend or your three closest friends that like have the most impact on your life. And like, you jump into a pool,
mm-hmm.
and on one side is your starting point, on the other side is God's purpose and plan and for your life. You know, it's a big pool, right? And
it's a really long pool.
It's very long.
Yeah.
And like, underneath the water is like it's sin, it's temptation, it's friends that you don't need in your life, it's relationships that aren't supposed to be there for your life. And like, the analogy played out where it's like you and your friends are swimming as fast as you're chained at the feet, right? You're swimming as fast as you can to get to the other side of this pool, but like, if one of your friends goes down, like that it starts to pull you down too.
Yeah.
You know?
And we're not talking about the ones who have made a mistake and are trying to come back. We're talking about the ones, and you know this type of person that's like intentionally changing directions,
mm-hmm.
are starting to chase things that are wasting time, are kind of chasing, are flirting with the idea, are diving into sin. Because those people who have no remorse for it are totally different than the people who are like, yeah, no, you know what, I made a mistake and I need to come back from that. It's like a totally, totally different kind of person. It's the people who are repetitively like going into that. And it's clear, it's important to make that like clarification, because it's all about heart and motive, and like you have to be a good judge of the people you're around, because you're so right.
Yeah.
If those people start to chase what's at the bottom of the pool, they're going to bring you down with them.
And like, and the scary part is like these are the friends that you love so much, you know. But this is for you guys too, which is like you know those friends, like at the back of your mind, like you know those friends that are pulling you down, that are intentionally changing direction and chasing after things in their life that aren't pleasing to God. And ultimately, if you stay there with that, they're going to bring you down too. But there has to be a point where you just give them to God and you cut ties.
Yeah.
And because your purpose and your fulfillment of God's plan for your life is so much more important than looking out for a friend who's going to end up dragging you down too. Because at the end of the day, if it's an intentional decision that they're choosing to not follow God anymore and choosing to chase after like things of this world, like that's between them and God, and you have to just keep moving forward.
Dude, so true. And you can't judge, like, okay, let's, like, that's so true on so many levels. And like, It, the thing about it is, it's not a judgmental thing.
No, it's not.
You never want it to be a judgmental thing where you're like hating on that person or whatever it is. Like, you have to really be so self-aware and so driven by like.
And this is after like multiple accounts. Like,
there's really no amount of accounts that's like, okay, this is 9 times and that's the last straw. It's more like just judging where people are at and what you need to chase what God has called you to, and then going based off of that. Because that's what's so important. It's like, at the end of the day, you stand alone in front of God. Not with your friends.
So true, man.
Not with your dad. Not with your mom. It's like, it's so crazy, too, because being in this industry, like, I see left and right. And a couple more guys that I just heard about, and like, in the country realm, or like, just passed away, like, because of a car accident, or because of this, or because of that. And like, it like breaks my freaking heart every time to see this and to realize like those people aren't different than us.
No, they're not.
It could be us any day. We just don't have time to waste, you know. This life is so short. I want to leave a legacy. Don't you guys want to live a legacy? Don't you want to leave something so big? I'm so tired of people freaking wasting Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then doing something Saturday, and then be finished with it by Sunday, and like starting over. Like, no, it, like, you gotta go in for it, and you gotta give everything to it. And that's one of the things I feel blessed about being on the road, is like, whether I like it or not, my whole dude, and it's on. Like, we wake up at 3 a.m, get on a flight, go to a city, play a show, like do another show, and like, you can't help but just get better and better in that environment. And it's not like we do it once or twice a week. All I do, and it's all I think about. And if people approach other things like a church or their calling or their friendships that they feel like connected to, or a relationship they believe is their relationship that they believe, like, once God's like told you that you're supposed to get married, like a marriage, mm-hmm. like with that kind of intensity, I mean, you couldn't that kind of effort, maybe not like, hey, I want to be with you every second, every day. Like, that probably wouldn't do well. But like, if people approached it with that kind of intentionality, like, I think the results would be different for a lot of people.
Yeah, I think, and that's a big reason why I'm like really trying to get on it now, which is why I'm like, because I, like we said at the beginning, like, the human body is so funny.
Yeah.
In terms of like how it acts and stuff like that, but we're also so. It's so true that we're creatures of habit.
Yeah.
You know, and like we do things through routine and over and over and over and over and over again, and it just becomes like a thing that you do. And so for me, I'm like I'm really trying to push myself to waking up early, you know, like making that a habit for me.
Totally.
And like going to the gym, because like I really feel strongly, and I feel like God told me this, which is like I really feel strongly that there are key things in your life that you can do, that whether it be going to the gym, making your bed, which I didn't do today.
Yeah, you're going to go do it right after this, though.
That create discipline. Hmm. And I think that discipline and like being faithful and obedient, that spills over into the other aspects of your life. You know, like waking up, going to the gym. Like you're starting your day off getting something done. Mm-hmm. You know, and that creates inside of you a longing to get more things done and to be more productive. And like that's different for everybody else, depending on what God kind of God's like called you to or given you for this moment in this season right now. And for me, like I know what I need to be doing, and starting my day off at 6:30 and already being done with the gym, like I come home, I can make my bed, I can make breakfast, I can go outside, do the weeds, I can, and then that gives me the rest of my morning to get done with the things that I need to do. It's just, I think discipline and doing those things for yourself becomes a habit that's so important.
Yeah.
And like what you said, it's like even for your country music, it's kind of like you're in it now. And so like, do you think you hit this point at some point in your walk with God where it just becomes like a habit or like it just becomes inundated with who you are?
Oh, sure, but it doesn't mean that you're not susceptible.
No, like you're definitely susceptible, but it does become like...
I've always heard, and I really think that this is probably pretty true, and it's not like, you know, scientific or anything like that, but they say, off of the studies they've done, it takes 3 days to form a habit, like a bad one.
No. Oh, to form a bad habit.
Yeah, and it takes 21 days to form a good habit or to break a bad habit. Because at the end of the day, like, it's all perspective on how you see it, kind of, right? But, like, you could say that not making your bed is a bad habit. Or you could say that making your bed is a good habit. It's just like it's a change of perspective, right? Mm-hmm. And it doesn't really matter either way. All that matters is it takes 21 days to reroute your life in a way where you feel different. So my question to everybody listening and to you and to myself, really, because there's a lot of areas I feel like I could step up, including my eating habits right now on the road. I eat out every freaking day. So I've got like, dude, it's horrible, man. Can you imagine going to a restaurant every single meal every day? It's like all you do is eat bad.
Yeah.
It's serious, man. And I've got
to never want to be that guy. It's like, can I have a salad with chicken?
Oh,
like those guys are the worst.
Those guys are just not fun. So I got to figure out.
Not inherit the kingdom.
No, man, dude. But 21 days from now, what will be different about you? What do you want to change? What do you want to do?
Yeah.
And like, the reason it's 21 is because it takes 21 days or so to get over that hump of this sucks and to get into the point where it's like, hey, I'm starting to see a little bit of what might be a result.
Mm-hmm.
And results are addictive.
Yeah, they are.
Results are really addictive. So that's where things kind of shift gears. You know what I mean? So that's what I want to chase. And that's what hopefully, like next week, we can talk another weekend about how you feel and how I feel and what we're doing on that and how you guys back home feel in the comments below, if there's comments on whatever.
There is. Oh. And there's a rating thing that you can go ahead and hit the 5-star for. Because that really helps me in getting this podcast out there to reach as many people as possible.
Yeah, man, we want to remind people that like
we're human.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, like if I had known that there were more people that were just like that didn't have all their crap figured out, that they were trying to figure it out together, like in the very beginning, it would have changed my perspective on Christianity a long time ago. Because like sometimes I feel like Christianity gets a bad rap.
It does, with like, oh, they have the Pharisee mindset, like they're better than everybody else. Yeah. Or like they're doing everything right and we're all wrong. And it's judgmental when the reality is
we're figuring this crap out too.
Well, we don't even know what we're doing.
No, yeah.
We know who we're chasing, but it's definitely a journey, and it's definitely something that more people need to know that, you know, you got people with you that are still picking up things, still learning things, still just pushing as hard as they can.
And dude, there's so many topics we haven't talked about, like what I told you about thoughtfulness, or like we could talk about relationships all day long.
All day.
Like, dude, there's so much to talk about. So I'm really excited that we're doing this.
Thoughtfulness one is good.
Oh, dude.
They gotta hear that one. Yeah, okay. That's some good talking.
Okay, well, the next time we do this, we're gonna go into thoughtfulness, and we're gonna go into relationships and stuff like this. And like, honestly, hopefully we can start putting these out once a week. That'd be really special.
Because, that'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, just because it's like, I think it's necessary. If you think it's necessary, let us know, because it's really cool for us to see, like we were talking about a second ago, like the response and how it's affecting and helping you guys. Because honestly, obviously, it's not making no money. Because that's just how it is.
The reality is, it's just, I think it's, not only is it fun for us, because we like to just, like,
We talk anyways.
We were just sitting in the coffee shop the other day and said, this would be a great podcast. We were talking about thoughtfulness next week. But, like, it's not only fun for us,
thoughtfulness sounds so boring,
though. It does.
Just wait. You just wait. This is going to change your freaking life.
But, like, not only is it fun for us to just do this, it's necessary.
It is.
And, like,
and honestly, like I was saying a second ago, like, it's not making any money. We're really just doing it to help people.
Yeah, we really are.
That's it.
And so, thank you guys so much for listening this week. I really hope you enjoyed it. Let us know what you thought about it in the comment section below. Repost this, give it a 5-star, and subscribe, and help us reach as many people as possible. Thank you so much, and I hope you have an amazing day.
Peace.